Welcome to Ballistic Radio, the fastest growing gun talk show in the country. Join us. We're going to explore the topics of firearms, self-defense, and your rights as a law-abiding citizen. Ballistic Radio, presented by Blackfire Ordnance Group, makers of TNT and TNT Black. Firearms finishes so tough, you need dynamite to take them off. Now, here's your host, John Johnston, on 55KRC, the talk station.
Good evening and welcome to Ballistic Radio presented by Blackfire Ordnance Group. I'm your host, John Johnston. Remember, you can always listen to past shows at ballisticradio.com and get the latest behind-the-scenes info at facebook.com/ballisticradio. Coasting with me this evening, Mr. Andy Ulrich and Matt the Minion. Gentlemen, how are you doing tonight?
Fine. We survived the storms.
Well, that's good.
And we have no buzzards attacking, so.
That's better than we had Wednesday when we recorded the show for next week. And just a quick reminder, this segment brought to you by Colt. Colt, the legend continues. So, if you've been following the Facebook page, you will see that Matt the Minion and myself are going to be in San Francisco next weekend, which means that we are going to air a recorded episode of the show. We interviewed Paul Gardner, who's a former Marine. Heard about a gunfight that he participated in 2003 in Iraq. It's probably one of the best shows we've ever done, if not the best show that we've done.
It was a very good show.
Yeah, so, and you'll get to hear that next weekend, unless you're in Florida, and then you're hearing it right now, but if you listen...
We're not getting back into that time-space continuum, recording now, but listening, and...
We'll try not to do that. So, we are getting people registered this evening to win the Next Level Training CERT Dry Fire Pistol. If you are interested in getting one of those, 1-800-823-8255, and we will get to your call at some point this evening, probably. And even if we don't, we'll get you registered to win that. The drawing is going to be held probably at the end of the month. I think that's what I said. Not that we don't plan things here at Ballistic Radio, but sometimes we don't plan things here at Ballistic Radio.
Just sometimes.
So anyway, what we're going to be discussing this evening is concealed carry, and specifically when you're first starting out in concealed carry, what are some things that maybe you should think about, and what are some things that maybe you shouldn't do, or should do, or whatever. So I guess the first thing that we should talk about, if you're going to carry a firearm for self-defense, I know a lot of people have either a moral or religious or whatever compunction against harming another human being, and that's perfectly understandable, and, you know, I get it. That having been said, if you decide that you're going to carry a gun, you need to come to the realization that you may have to kill someone. You're not trying to do it, but unfortunately, when you start shooting at someone, it's not like a stun gun in, you know, Star Trek where you hit them and, oh, they're okay 20 minutes later. And there is no, well, I'm just going to shoot to wound, because honestly, that generally doesn't work. So first thing to really think about before you ever get started anywhere else is whether or not you are capable of defending your life with deadly force. So first thing. And Andy, I'd say that a lot of people don't even consider that when they start carrying.
No, and I think they think that if they produce the gun that it's going to end the situation, which it may, but it may not.
Right. So, and I think that that can't be overstated enough, is that a lot of the ideas that people have as far as the psychological effect of a firearm on an attacker or someone in your home, it's not necessarily going to go the way that you would think, especially as movies and TV would portray it. And especially the main mistake that I think people are making is assuming that the person you're dealing with is another rational human being that has a concern with self-preservation and is even aware of what's going on. There's all sorts of narcotics that can alter the state of mind of an individual. There's all sorts of people that have been, you know, doing this sort of thing for a very long time and have been exposed to guns pointed at them before or shot at them before, and it doesn't really bother them that much anymore.
Everyday activity or...
Yeah, so there's not like the shock effect.
Right.
So first thing to think about, whether or not you are mentally capable of making that decision. Once you've gotten to that point, you've decided that your life is worth more than the life of someone that's trying to take yours, which I really think is the thought process that you should probably be considering. A lot of people will ask about the gun, will ask about training, will ask about concealing the gun. And it's hard to pick one spot to start out. I think the number one concern that people have, at least people that are responsible, they go, well, you know, I haven't gotten very much training. Should I get that before I get my concealed carry permit? Is a concealed carry permit class something that will prepare me for carrying a firearm out in public? Not so much.
Yeah, I think a lot of people think that just the training that is offered in the class that, you know, is mandatory is enough, or that, you know, that's going to provide enough for them to just be able to carry the gun.
Hey, I know everything I need to know. And honestly, it depends really on the instructor that you have. And to be clear, too, we're going to be talking mainly about Ohio as far as when we get into specific laws. I know some places there is no requirement at all, and actually that's the way it should be in my mind. But here there is, and that's kind of why we're discussing it. I think that being familiar with the firearm before you take the concealed carry class is helpful. It is certainly not mandatory to go and take it, to have that knowledge before you go and take it, because really what the concealed carry class in Ohio is a basic safety class and a basic handling class. There's a very, very small live fire portion. I know they say it's still 2 hours on the range, isn't it?
But it's just it's hours. It's not rounds. It's right. Not many shots in so many seconds. Or yeah. It's not anything like that.
There's no standards that you're trying to meet. And honestly, that's fine. I don't think that you should have to meet a standard to exercise your right of self-defense. And that's across the board. Everyone's got that right. I really don't care what some legislators think about it. They're wrong. But something, like I said, something to really think about is the required mandatory class is not a gunfighting class. It's not really even a concealed carry class. It's a class to make sure that you know where the bullets go, not to point the gun at yourself or anyone else, and not to touch the trigger unless you're planning on shooting someone.
And some law, you know, aspects of the law, some very, very rudimentary.
Yeah. And caveat here, there are certain instructors that do a very good job of throwing extra into the class, and I think that if you can find one of those, it's certainly a good thing. I'm not really going to specifically plug anybody just because I haven't been through anyone's class recently. The last class I went to was 6, 7, 8 years ago, something like that. So it's been a while. But anyway, we'll talk about this a little bit more. We'll get into some gear decisions that you need to think about, and also what the number one mistake people make when they first start out concealed carrying. Right now you're listening to Ballistic Radio. Welcome back to Ballistic Radio, presented by Blackheart Ordnance Group, makers of TNT and TNT Black. Firearms finishes so tough you need dynamite to take them off. Visit them online at blackfireordgroup.com. Also, two quick reminder, this segment brought to you by Walther. Walther and the new PPX. So something really amusing happened during the break. And I generally don't like to poke fun at Eric because he's an awesome, awesome producer. But I happened to notice before he did that the phone was ringing on the board. So I pressed a little button to talk to him in the booth. And I go, hey, the phone's ringing. The first thing he says back to me is, oh, is it for you? Well, I don't know, Eric. You should find out. So anyway, he's running to go and get pen and paper so we can get the entries down for the next level training SIRT dry fire pistol. If you would like to get in on that, 1-800-823-8255. We are going to be getting people registered. We'll take your call at the end of the show if you have a question. If you don't, you can still call in and get registered for the drawing that we will be holding at the end of the month. I almost said holding. I don't know why. Apparently I'm tired. Anyway, back to the show. So we're talking about concealed carry and specifically getting started in concealed carry. I think that there are a lot of easy mistakes to make when you're getting started. And I'm not going to concentrate on training nearly as much as I should, just because that would be a whole show in and of itself. I think training is something that you should seek. I think training is something that allows us to not ever have to use a gun, because as we become more educated, we just avoid the situations where that sort of thing would tend to happen. So training, a very, very good idea. That having been said, let's get on to the gear side of things and concealing the gun and what kind of gun should you carry in, all of that sort of thing. The number one thing that I hear that is kind of interest to me is, well, I can't carry such and such because I just can't conceal it. Mm-hmm. Now, depending on what your work environment is, that may be true. If you have to wear business attire every day, then carrying a full-size service pistol is going to be a challenge without other people noticing. You can do it, and I know people that do it, especially with some tuckable inside-the-waistband holsters. But let's say you're not going to go that route, then a pocket gun makes a lot of sense. If you're like Matt the Minion over there, and he's schmedium at the most.
Yeah, at the most.
And I still say that you could carry a larger firearm if you wanted. But
well, and I have, but...
Yeah, we still need to find the right combination of gun, belt, and holster. And that's kind of where I'm going with that. You can carry a larger gun than you think you can. I would almost guarantee it. The reason why a larger gun maybe matters to you, the small guns that are billed as concealed carry guns, stuff like the Pocket 380s and 9mm, and especially the five-shot revolvers that are popular, are really hard to shoot well if you don't know what you're doing. And even if you do know what you're doing, they are hard to shoot well. And that's something that I think a lot of people overlook, is the shootability of the gun. Well, why does that matter? You know, you'll hear people say stuff like, well, the typical gunfight occurs at blah, blah, blah.
3 shots in 3 seconds.
Well, and honestly...
3 feet.
Yeah, 3 shots, 3 seconds, 3 steps is what I heard down at Rangemaster. And honestly, that's true. A lot of defensive gun uses look like that if you're going by the typical gunfight. I will say the typical gunfight is sort of an oxymoron just because that's not a typical thing for most people. And the other thing, too, is that, you know, if 90% of these really bad situations occur a certain way, if you find yourself in the situation that is worse than what everyone else is talking about when they go typical gunfight, you're not going to go, oh, well, this is really statistically unlikely. I wish I had prepared more for that. You're just going to have to deal with it. So what the larger firearm allows you to do is, A, shoot it better and more accurately. Also, two, you're more likely to practice with a gun that does not beat your hand up every time you shoot it. And I think that that's where a mistake is often made in firearm selection at the very least.
Oh, I've made that mistake.
Yeah.
I was carrying a Kel-Tec PF9 for a little bit, and I really honestly couldn't hit the broadside of a barn with it. And that's when I decided to get rid of it and start carrying the FNS.
Yeah. I mean, and the that was interesting, too, because I remember when you had that, and I also remember that burst, and both of those were not guns that were easy to shoot. They weren't easy for me to shoot, and they certainly weren't comfortable to shoot. So getting practice in is sort of a difficult thing there. As far as... You know, I have a personal preference. I'm a very big fan of 9mm, you know, large capacity firearms. I like to have 15 rounds in the gun at the minimum. I really like 17. I love 18. Honestly, the more I can get, the better. I'm not going to get into the caliber debate because, honestly, that's silly. Mm-hmm. Buy whatever you're happy with, whatever makes you comfortable. Honestly, a 380 is fine if that's all you've got. It's not ideal, but once again, 99.9% of the time, if you have the gun, you're going to be cool. As far as the platform goes, unless you are on a severe budget, and we did a show about that last week, so I'm not going to get back into that, try and buy a quality firearm from a reputable manufacturer that has a reputation for guns that work. So you get into guns like SIG and H&K and Smith & Wesson and Glock, and Ruger to a lesser extent. There's some I'm forgetting.
Walther,
yeah. Exactly. Those are generally, they make good guns. I will say that every manufacturer seems to have a gun that doesn't do so well, and then they do have guns that do okay. Mm-hmm. Really good example of that is Smith & Wesson, the M&P. They've had a lot of problems in the 9mm with those. The 40s and 45s work great. Mm-hmm. So... once again, have you ever gotten one of the M&Ps that had the accuracy issue?
No. Both mine shoot really well. Mm-hmm.
It's a thing.
It is a thing.
Yeah.
Definitely. And it can be sorted out, but just be prepared. And generally, it's like a second-gen model that came out. It's not anything in the last year.
I've even seen some of the newer ones have had, not as often. But anyway, that's, once again, a different thing. The point I'm trying to make is that every manufacturer can make a bad gun, and every manufacturer can make a good gun. That's why you hear guys talk about their high points that have, you know, 500 rounds to them and never had a malfunction. If you believe that, That's fine. I'm not going to say that someone would maybe exaggerate for the sake of exaggeration. Mm-hmm. But just because an example of one does well does not mean that your example, if you get one, is going to do well. The reverse of that is just because you hear about, you know, an H and K that has problems or a SIG that has problems doesn't mean that all of them are bad. You just really need to look at the trend there.
And going back to the lower end guns, are you running them like you would in a gunfight? That's what concerns me. If you're not running them like you probably would when you're in a gunfight, then you're probably not going to see maybe the malfunctions that you might see.
Well, that's even hard to set up just because how are you going to run it in a gunfight? I mean, what a lot of us training junkies, for lack of a better term, will do is go and shoot a couple hundred, 500, 1,000 rounds in a day or mm-hmm. a weekend or something like that, and it becomes very easy to spot problems in your gun and also your gear. When you don't, and when you're not planning on practicing, and when your entire, I guess, carry methodology is built around, okay, I'm going to put a box of ammunition through this gun and then I'm going to carry it, there's all sorts of problems that firearm could have that you're just not aware of because you haven't hit the magic number where it's going to start having those problems. You know, a great example of that is Glock with the Gen 4s. When those first came out, there were a lot of them that did not work well.
Right.
There's even been some Gen 4s after the fact that are fine for the first couple thousand rounds, and then they have an issue.
Yeah.
So the reason why I talk about that is select a quality gun, but then make sure, because you're trusting your life to this. It's a piece of life-saving equipment. It's not something that you just want to be lackadaisical in your attitude about it. So that'd probably be mistake number one as far as firearm selection goes, is the quality of the firearm that you select. And also, to the size. And here's why I say that. Like I already mentioned, the small guns are hard to shoot. Unless you're in a very specific set of circumstances, you can carry a larger gun. And the way you do that is by having a good, dedicated gun belt and a quality holster that covers the trigger guard of your firearm and does not collapse when you draw the gun. Well, why does that matter? The gun belt is going to be the vast majority of how the gun conceals. If you have a floppy Walmart belt and you hang a, you know, 2 pounds of gun off of it, it's going to bow outwards and you're going to look like you have a tumor. A gun tumor. And that's not ideal because concealed carry, we're trying to conceal a gun. And I will talk about that next segment a little bit. But the belt, very important. Something that a lot of people overlook. If you're having problems concealing a gun and you can't quite figure out why and you've not gotten a dedicated gun belt, you probably want to check into that. I personally use Volan Gearworks for every belt that I own for the most part. That's not to say they're the only game in town. They just happen to be who I like. I know a lot of folks like Aries Gear. There's SOE. You know, there's all sorts of different manufacturers you can go to. If you don't like nylon belts, you can get leather. I know Comtac makes a pretty good mm-hmm. Kydex reinforced leather gun belt. There's all sorts of places. But the gun belt's very important, and you are going to have to spend a little bit of money for a quality one of those. So budget that accordingly. The holster, and we'll... There's so many different ways that you can carry the gun that it would be hard to touch on all of them in just a single show. Generally, if you carry inside the waistband, the gun's going to be much more concealable. The reason for that is you don't have to worry about concealing the barrel. The only thing you're hiding is a grip. Everything else is below the belt line, tucked onto the inside of your pants. A lot of people will say, well, that's not comfortable, or that's not comfortable for me. Usually, I would say that has more to do with the holster you're using and probably the belt you're using than anything else. But if you just absolutely cannot carry inside the waistband, then you're stuck with outside the waistband or pocket carry. Notice I'm not mentioning shoulder holsters, and there's a reason for that. And I don't have quite enough time this segment to get to it because we've only got 40 seconds left. But I'm really not a fan of shoulder holsters except in a very, very limited set of circumstances. So pocket carry or outside the waistband carry. The same rules pretty much apply, with the exception being for pocket carry as far as holster selection goes. I know there are a few, but most of the pocket holsters you see are going to collapse when you draw the gun out of it. Just don't try and reholster the gun when it's still in your pocket. Maybe pull that holster out. Make sure that you're not flagging your hand. insert the gun back into it in there, and don't be in a hurry when you do that. When we're reholstering the gun, we're not in a hurry, ever. I'll talk about outside the waistband holsters when we get back. Right now, you're listening to Ballistic Radio. Welcome back to Ballistic Radio, presented by Black Fire Ordnance Group, makers of TNT and TNT Black. Firearms finishes so tough, you'd need dynamite to take them off. Visit them online at blackfireordgroup.com. This segment brought to you by TopGunSupply.com. TopGunSupply.com is your web source for fine firearms parts and accessories. True product specialists committed to delivering the highest level of customer support to you. They carry top name brands, including Ed Brown, Wilson Combat, Les Bear, Sig Sauer, and many more, as well as premium AR pattern rifles. Whether you are looking to protect yourself, are a first-time gun buyer, or a competitive shooter, TopGunSupply.com can satisfy your firearms needs. TopGunSupply.com, your premier source for SIG parts and accessories. So we're getting people registered to win a CERT dry fire training pistol from Next Level Training. If you're interested in that, you can call us with a question, 1-800-823-8255. Wow, the glare in here was terrible just for a second. And you'd think I'd know that number after a year and a half.
You'd think it would just flow.
You would think. So you can call in. If you have a question, we'll answer the last segment of the show. If you don't, if you still want to call in, we'll still get you registered. You just won't talk to us on air, and I know everyone is sad about that. So anyway, we were talking about holster selection. I had sort of made fun of shoulder holsters, except for very limited circumstances. I'll get into that. And I was talking about pocket holsters and then moving on to the outside the waistband holsters. Pocket holsters, like I said, they need to cover the trigger guard of the firearm. You need to not have anything else in that pocket other than the gun. And when you go to reholster, take the holster out of your pocket first. Make sure you're not flagging your hand when you reholster, and go nice and slow. And the reason for that is we don't want to have any accidents. And if we're reholstering the gun, we can go slow. If we needed to reholster fast, that probably means we're a police officer and we're arresting someone, and that's not most of the folks that are listening to the show right now about getting started with concealed carry. Anyway, outside the waistband holsters are going to be either leather or Kydex. Don't buy a nylon outside the waistband holster. I know a lot of folks do that, but a couple problem with those. Generally, they tend to collapse when you draw the firearm. You need to reach down and sort of spread the mouth of the holster open to get the gun back in. Also, I've yet to see a nylon holster that really holds the gun that close to the body.
Yeah.
Can't think of one.
Thumb snap, buckle.
Not a very good attachment method. So if you're going to get an outside-the-waistband holster and you're wanting it to be a concealment holster, just keep in mind you're going to look for a design that pulls the gun close to the body, covers the trigger guard, does not collapse when you draw the firearm. The reason why I keep hammering that home is because when we're drawing the gun, we want to be able to reholster the gun one-handed if we're able to. Obviously, pocket holsters are an exception. If we have a holster that collapses at the mouth, at the top of the holster, when I say mouth of the holster, that's what I'm talking about. It's the top of the holster. What can happen when we go to reholster is, A, we're digging around with our off hand in that general area, so then we've got our hand in front of the muzzle of the gun, which is a bad thing. And the other thing, too, is that it's very easy for that holster to get inside the trigger guard. We're pressing down. There's something snagged on the trigger, and oops, we shot ourselves in the leg, the hand, the foot, whatever. So something to look for in a holster design. The reason why I don't like shoulder holsters for most folks is because of a couple different things. It's hard to retain the gun. At least in almost all the shoulder holsters I've seen and all the evolutions I've seen where someone's carrying a gun in a shoulder holster and they do some sort of force-on-force that involves a gun grab, they generally lose that gun. The other thing, too, is that unless you put a lot of time into it, a very, very, very large amount of time into it, they're not very fast, and it's hard not to flag yourself on the draw. You can do it, but like I said, you have to dedicate a lot of time to get to that point. And unfortunately, I don't think a lot of people put as much time into it as they can. So I know TV and movies has made shoulder holsters one of those things that are cool to do. Try not to. It's not a good thing. So unless, and here's my unless, if you spend 90% of your time in a car or something like that, and most of your interactions with the public occur from the seat of your vehicle, maybe a cab driver, for instance, shoulder holster maybe makes a little bit more sense. Still not my favorite.
And there's other options, too, when you're in a vehicle.
Yeah, I mean, I appendix carry almost, well, it's not almost, it's all the time.
Right.
In a vehicle, you know, I've fallen asleep, taken a nap with the gun on. You know, there are options. Appendix carry is probably something you shouldn't be doing if you're starting out, though, for a couple different reasons. I'm not going to do a show on appendix carry right now. So, I guess the next thing, too, is clothing. What would you say people think they need to wear versus what they actually have to wear, Andy?
They think they have to wear a heavy coat. They think that they have to wear a shirt that's three or four sizes bigger than they normally wear. And you can do that. I'm not going to wear a coat in the summertime.
No, and you tend to look a little bit funny. Actually, right. I saw an interesting infographic from someone from the New York Police Department about ways you can tell someone is carrying a gun. And one of them is inappropriate clothing to the weather.
Right.
For instance, someone wearing too much clothing might be an indicator that they're carrying a firearm. The thing that you need to think about once you start carrying the gun, you're going to be very self-conscious about doing this at first and maybe for a little while. I'm not even saying that's a bad thing, but you're assuming that everyone is looking at you when if you actually go out into public and look around at people,
they're absorbed in their phones.
Their kids or whoever.
Right.
So, concealment doesn't need to be as good as people think it does. As good as, you know, like you were saying at the beginning, as far as clothes that are three sizes too big, mm-hmm. things like that. If the gun shows a little bit through your clothing, chances are you're probably okay. Assuming it's not like the outline of a gun and you go around acting like a jerk, which is another thing. When you first start concealed carrying, don't touch the gun through your clothes to check and see where it's at.
If it's shifting on you, you have the wrong belt, you have the wrong holster.
Right. A quality belt and holster will keep the gun in the exact same place every single time, whether or not you're skinny, whether or not you're fat. As a fat guy, trust me, I've been through this before.
I have a few pounds, yes.
You know, Matt's never had to deal with that problem, but...
Not really, no.
No.
Unfortunately. Well, I shouldn't say unfortunately.
Get married.
Yeah, that'll do it.
That'll do it for you.
Divorces will do it, too.
Yeah.
Having kids. Anyway, that's a different show entirely. So, I'm sorry, people. We get off on these tangents, and then we just are off the tracks for the rest of the show. So when you first start carrying, though, you're going to have this natural tendency to sort of check and see where the gun's at. Don't do that. You don't need to do that. It's something that I bet if people would actually stop and think mm-hmm. about it, they'll check it with their arm, they'll check it with their hand, or sort of. The other interesting thing that you see too, and I see this a lot when I go out, is someone that's got their arm and it's not moving with the other arm and they're protecting
the gun.
Yeah, the gun from that side or another, which I understand why people are doing it, but once again, if we're trying to keep the gun concealed, little tips that you can sort of incorporate into everything. Just act like normal. It's no one's looking at you. No one's staring at you. You don't have a big flashing neon sign over your head that, hey, I've got a gun. Unless you're trying for that and you've got a long gun strapped over your shoulder and are carrying a sign and have your cell phone running. No, I won't talk about open carry right now. Well, no, I won't. Anyway, so clothing is one of those things. You can generally dress normally unless you're kind of like, I don't know. Paul Sharp manages it. Paul Sharp, who is a trainer and instructor, friend of mine, is known for wearing T-shirts that are three sizes too small, and he still somehow conceals a gun, but he's a freak of nature. For the most part, if you're carrying a firearm on your waistline and you're into wearing the shirts that are size too small so you can show off all that time you've put in at the gym.
Six-pack abs.
Yeah, yeah. That's probably not going to work as well for you. But that having been said, almost everyone can conceal the gun, except, and here's where the except comes in, except for females that want to dress like females. And that's something that a lot of the gun guys don't think about. If you are a woman and want to conceal a gun and you still want to be fashionable, well, that brings in some other issues at play. We're going to get ready to go to the break probably in the next 10 seconds or so. So what we'll do when we get back is talk about some options for female concealed carriers and maybe some things to look at. And we'll talk about off-body carry briefly. When what I mean by that is purse carry. But anyway, we'll get to all that in just a minute. Right now you're listening to Ballistic Radio. Welcome back to Ballistic Radio, presented by Black Fire Ordnance Group, makers of TNT and TNT Black Firearms Finishes. So tough, you need dynamite to take them off. Visit them online at blackfireordgroup.com. This segment brought to you by the Polypalooza 2 Memorial Training Conference. Join some of the top trainers in the country August 16th and 17th at the Raven Concealment Systems facility in Northern Ohio, where they will be teaching some of the most vital self-defense skills that every armed citizen should know. Lesson blocks will cover a myriad of topics suitable for shooters and students of all skill levels. Great place to start is going to be at this class. For more information, click the Polypalooza 2 tab on ballisticradio.com. Registration is only $250, and all the money is going to benefit the Paul Gomez Children's Trust. Remember, click the Polypalooza 2 tab on the ballisticradio.com homepage for more information and save the date, August 16th and 17th. So, we are talking about stuff that you should think about and maybe don't when you're getting started with concealed carry. We've got Kurt on the line. He's got a question about holsters for exercising. We'll get to you real quick in just a minute. I do want to cover, though, some of the things that are oftentimes overlooked by the male firearms gun dude type people, and I am one of those, obviously, is, well, women carry guns too. And I don't know why people don't think that, but it seems like when you have this conversation with a lot of folks, all the advice that you hear will be really specific towards men. Now, if you are a female and you're wanting to still dress the way that you dress, you're going to be slightly limited on your holster selection, also your firearm selection. Unless, if you know, most of your clothes are generally baggy or you wear a lot of overshirts or things like that, then you can carry pretty much anything. It's no different. If you are into the current fashions or are a little bit more stylish, I'm trying to think of a way to say that where I don't sound like a jerk. I don't know. Anyway.
I'm going to let you be a jerk.
Yeah, you should. Anyway, then you have problems because a lot of the gun gear is geared towards carrying on the waistline. Well, women have generally wider hips than men do, and if you've got a gun that is sitting right on your hip or behind your hip like that, and your hips are wider, then it's going to be much easier for people to see that gun. So you're left with a couple different options. One of them would be the purse carrier off-body carrying a bag. I generally don't like that, but if that's the only way that you're going to carry a gun, then yes, do that. Just be aware that you need something that is specifically designed to carry a gun and is a good design to carry a gun. And I can't tell you what that is because, honestly, I've never had to do it, and I'm sorry that I can't. But I'm sure if you do some research, there are all sorts of forums and websites that are geared specifically towards female carry issues, and they're great, great resources to check out. CornerCat.com, Kathy Jackson.
Yeah.
There's more. So anyway, if you're going to carry on the body, one of the most interesting and probably effective holsters that I've seen for that is going to be the Flashbang holster from Looper Concealment. Mm-hmm. That is a holster that attaches to the center strap and underwire of a bra. And I've seen videos of women drawing the gun from that holster and putting rounds into the A zone about as quick as I can do it. It is a very, very good holster, except you're going to be limited on the gun that you can carry. Obviously, you're going to be stuck probably with a very small 9mm or a 380. Once again, having a gun, the important part of that, and really the main goal that we have is just have a gun. All right, so we've got Kurt from Lebanon. If you're wanting to do more research about all this, I'm going to be posting some links and articles up on the webpage. And I'm sorry that I haven't really delved into any one specific topic. And the reason for that is because, honestly, I don't have enough time. And I just want people to start thinking a little bit more about it than they do. So anyway, We've got Kurt from Lebanon. He's been holding for the last 5 minutes patiently. Kurt, how are you doing tonight?
Pretty good. How are you guys?
Not too bad. So what can I help you with, sir?
Okay. Question that comes to exercise.
Yes.
I'm starting to exercise again because I'm getting fat and all that fun stuff. Anyway, I usually try to carry a pistol everywhere I go.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to exercising, it becomes a real hassle. I'm riding bikes mainly, bicycles, and I'm trying to use a belly band, but it sticks out.
Right.
Have you got any options or anything I haven't thought about? Or
well, honestly, I think that something that people overlook a lot when they start talking about exercise clothes is the utility of cargo shorts.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason for that is because they have belt loops, and then you can generally carry a good holster that you would normally carry and just do it when you're exercising. Not that I exercise much, and you can pretty much tell that if you've seen photos of me, but I occasionally do. I carry appendix, which is going to be up front about if you were facing forward, and forward is 12 o'clock. The holster that I'm using places the gun at about 1 o'clock. I've jogged with that. I've ran with that very slowly. I've done other things with that, and it's not been an issue. That having been said, I know a lot of people are not comfortable with appendix carry, and it's probably not a good place to start out anyway. If you're not willing to do cargo shorts or something like that, you're really going to be looking at the extreme lightweight guns that can clip to the waistband of your gym shorts in like a clip-style holster. And there are very few that are actually good. What you're looking for is one that has a metal spring clip so that once it's over the waistband of the holster, it's not coming off without two hands. And a lot of times, too, if you're forced to draw that gun, the holster is going to pop out of the waistband on some extent or another. You know, that doesn't matter so much. We just want to be able to carry the gun, have it concealed, and then have the trigger guard covered when we're moving around. The other option that you might want to consider, and I know these are these are death to single guys, but fanny packs are a great way to carry a firearm on a bike or running. I know a lot of people that use them rather effectively and are very quick from them. Not the best thing for picking up chicks on the bike trail, but, you know.
I'm over 50 and married, so that doesn't matter anymore. But,
hey, fanny pack is probably a really good option, you know.
All right, I've seen a few of those on the internet, so maybe that's the way to go.
Yeah, there are some that are better than others, and I want to if you go to the if you're on the Facebook page at all, I'll post a link to one, and there's one in particular that I'm thinking of that I can't remember the name of right now, and I don't want to search for it on air just because that would probably go poorly. But, I mean, the number one thing is, and you've got the right ideas, have a gun with you, even, you know, when you're exercising, because you never know when something is going to happen or not going to happen. And, the thing that I think a lot of people don't think about, especially if they're out in public, is dealing with a dog, an aggressive dog. And pepper spray doesn't always work. So if anyone is going, well, why do you need to carry a gun when you're exercising? That's one good reason right there. And
people are attacked while they're exercising because, you know,
well, dogs,
you're out in public.
Dogs like to chase things, too, yeah. I've noticed. It's funny. I could tell stories about that.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
especially runners and bikes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I don't know if that helps at all or not. I mean, just in general, when you're looking for a holster, if you go into the basic categories of different holsters, what you're looking for, like I said earlier in the show, something that doesn't collapse when you draw the gun and something that is going to cover the trigger guard. So as long as you're doing that, if you're going to pocket carry, the collapsing issue is not as bad of a thing to be concerned about, but I still like people to think about that. You know, and that might be one of the situations, too, where carrying a smaller gun is something that you might want to consider. You know, a 380 or even a 22, as much as I don't suggest those for self-defense, if there are better options, sure beats the larger gun that you left at home. So,
but it has something than nothing.
Yeah, exactly. Kurt, if you want to hold the line, I'll get Eric to get your information from you so you can get registered for that drawing. I appreciate you calling in tonight, sir.
All right, thanks for the advice.
Hey, no problem. You have a good evening.
You too.
All right. So, well, we're almost at the end of the show. We got about a minute left. If you want more information on this, I'm going to be posting an article about concealed carry on the ballisticradio.com homepage, probably in the next day or so, assuming that I get it finished, which is a big assumption. Matt, you'll have to make sure that I actually work on that and get that posted on there. We've got some exciting things that are happening at Ballistic Radio that I'm going to be announcing towards the end of the week. Like I said, if you're out on the West Coast in the San Francisco area, we are going to be doing a pretty awesome event at Triple Ott Design at their Dog Patch location. I think it starts at 1 p.m. Pacific time and is going to run for 5 or 6 hours. It's going to be food and drinks there. We're going to be doing some friendly or not-so-friendly competitions between one another, and should be interesting. And, hey, you'll get to meet Matt the Minion. I know people actually like him. So, anyway, next week when we're in San Francisco, we recorded an interview with Paul Gardner about his time in the Marine Corps and specifically a gunfight that occurred in Iraq in 2003. It's an excellent, excellent story. Like I said, probably one of the best episodes we've ever done. If you only listen to one show coming up, this is probably the one that you want to listen to. Anyway, make sure you check out the website, ballisticradio.com, and like our Facebook page at facebook.com/ballisticradio. Thanks, everyone, for listening, and as always, be safe and see you next Sunday at 7 p.m.